a fucking lockdown. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
But don't let me touch you.
Going on right now in the world, I think you might like it. All right, here we go. Why did this happen? I don't know. A virus out of control, can't go anywhere. Stuck in my house, people need healthcare. We're shut down, everything's closed. Don't touch your face or you might get exposed. Stay safe, stay clean. I really hate COVID-19. Can't touch this. Please don't go outside, ladies and gentlemen. You can't touch this. We literally cannot touch anything. Can't touch this. All right, second verse. Empty shelves, long lines, toilet paper's out and I can't get wine. Wuhan started it all. Economy's down, in stock markets fall. No crowds, no groups. Wash your hands after taking a poop. Corona virus locked in my room, got me feeling really pissed. COVID-19, this is the year of self-quarantine. Please wash your hands. I hope you like this song. Can't touch this. No groups over 10 people, please.
I agree with this guy. You just can't touch anything nowadays. Right, so the song rings very true. Hey, Catherine.
Hey, how's it going?
You know. Feel like you know better than anybody else how it's going because, you live with me. So you get to deal with all the joy that is me sometimes on a daily basis.
That's true.
But hello, all of our fellow quarantiners out there. Welcome back to another episode of the show. Can't believe this is our fifth episode. I could be off.
I think it's six.
Yeah, I'll say either five or six. This is how unprepared I am for this today. but welcome to the show. I am Tom, joined here with Catherine, hankered down in our bunker in Atlanta, doing another one of these talky thingies that we do. And today's date is April 24th, 2020, and this is day 42 of quarantine.
For us.
That's yeah.
A lot.
That is a lot.
I thought it was like 60, though, already, so I guess.
You know, I was thinking like this to myself the other day. I was saying that when it all started, which feels like it was freaking very, very long ago.
Three lifetimes.
It felt like, you know, time felt very stretched out. Now, I feel like these weeks are flying. I feel like I'm to Wednesday by no time, then it's Friday, then it's the weekend, and I'm back to Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's like Monday and Tuesday literally just skip themselves now.
I feel like I'm always saying this, but I read an article about that. Actually, it's like this thing where because you're doing the same thing every day, and you can't really, your mind doesn't make memories of each individual day, so they all blur together, which makes the time feel like it's passing faster, except the minute to minute and hours pass really slow. Like I'll look up and it's 2 and then I'm like, oh, it's got to be at least 5, but no, it's only 3, you know.
Wow. I mean, I could definitely believe that, and I just think that time moves differently now for pretty much everybody, especially that we're not able to occupy ourselves or distract ourselves with the other things that we would typically do in our lives, and we would kind of leave our domiciles. Now it's like time exists literally within these four walls. So
yeah.
For all of you that are obviously still safe, hopefully you're all safe and catching up with what's going on. The coronavirus cases are up to 845,000, 46,000 deaths, and that's sadly up another 14,000 from our last show.
Well, hold on. Is that in the U.S. or the world?
That's in the U.S. Yeah. That's here in the U.S. of A.
It's got to be, because in the world, it's what, almost a quarter million?
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy that we're literally going to hit a point where we'll be basically like a huge, probably half percentage of the world cases of coronavirus eventually. Like once we break the million mark, that's pretty daunting. Another statistic I saw that was kind of crazy was, and this changes.
Oh, by the way, we are way past three quarters of a million.
Update.
We're up to, wait a minute.
Are you reading the right thing?
What are we talking about? Yeah, hold on. In the United States, we're 886. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I said, well, you said 866. When I looked at it, it was 845,000.
When did you look?
I may have written this up yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that, by the way. Days
says
matter.
The person that I shouldn't prepare for the show, and I did it a day early.
That's true.
But regardless, that's a pretty daunting number. Another crazy number I saw was the, and this again is changing daily, 26 million people unemployed in the U.S. And this was a statistic. It said the U.S. economy had wiped out all job gains since the Great Depression.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Or was it all job gains since the recession?
No, the Great Depression. Now, people can look that up and fact check me back, but I read a pretty big article, I think even Slate.com, which I think is a pretty accredited news source, and that's wild. That's a wild amount to lose.
Yeah, that's depressing.
Yeah. Is this going to be the second Great Depression? What do we call it? The Great Depression 2? More depressing? It's like a bad movie title. Well, we'll all have to start thinking of some really cool names for this next depression. So if you all think of any, let us know. We can talk about them on the next show.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a big wow, obviously. I mean, again, the whole like trying to tiptoe around the news, I definitely find myself once a day reading it and just kind of slack-jawed.
Well, fuck it. We don't have jobs. Let's just go bowling.
Yeah, let's go bowling. That's right. That should segue right into the next thing is good old Georgia opening back up, I think, starting today, Friday. Hey, now.
Restaurants aren't even open until Monday, but today we have barbershops, hairstylists, salons, estheticians, bowling alleys.
Massage parlors.
Massages. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, our good old boy, Governor Brian Kemp, announced, I think, earlier this week that, you know, we're going to be the guinea pig here for the country and start opening up the economy early, way earlier than anticipated, than most scientific data has said is okay. I think some data has said the safest time to possibly open up Georgia when I looked last was June.
Wow.
And boy, are we getting early on that train. It could be met with terrible results and probably cost Mr. Kemp his job, hopefully. A job that I truly believe he stole anyway from Stacey Abrams. But we're not going to get all political on here.
Yeah, I mean, I think given what the scientists are telling us, there's really no other way this could go. People start mingling again, and it has nowhere to go but up in terms of numbers of cases and numbers of deaths. He is, of course, instituting social distancing, like that's even possible when you get your hair cut.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't understand is like the kinds of places that are opening up. How does a hairdresser cut your hair 6 feet away? Does she have like a pole with a scissor on the end and she's just like those big, you know, those like shears that they reach up in the trees and like clip the limbs and shit with? I mean, how is that even physically possible?
Yeah, I genuinely don't understand that.
Wearing gloves and a mask, I can understand, but how are people feeling safe, especially even massaging? We had this conversation. We were always people that when we could, we would get a massage every now and again. It's an incredibly, obviously, touching profession. They're touching you. You can feel them breathing on your back.
Well, okay, if you're trying to make people happy, maybe what people want is a haircut and a massage.
Right.
Okay. I get that. What about the bowling alley? And what are you going to do?
That was like, an odd choice.
First of all, who's going bowling? Second, when the balls come back in the return, even if you're like Lysoling every ball as it comes back in the return, isn't the return getting covered in virus that is then still, the whole thing. I do not understand the bowling alley. And how's this helping anybody? I don't get it.
I guess maybe they feel like the spray they spray in the bowling shoes is going to save people. So like they're going to like have you bring it back, spray in the shoes and then spray on your hands and then it's fixed.
Oh, good Lord.
It is a really stupid, idiotic thing. And you know, that is just it. What's going on right now in this country. There's this big revolt of people saying, open everything back up. We want to work. We need to make money. I understand that plight. I get the fact that people, their desperation is starting to creep in. Some certain government systems aren't set up properly, and people are really feeling the squeeze financially. But what people refuse to look at is science, data, and another thing is just the idea of why we're social distancing in the first place. Like you said, it's a setback. It's just basically saying, like, all you're going to do is revert all the hard work that we put in by doing this in the first place and just set us back to zero. It's just going to take us all to get out, disrupt it, start having cases go rampant again, and now we're all stuck back inside for way longer.
Yeah. Well, a lot of business owners have pushed back, as I could have predicted. You know, a lot of places, even I read an article today that one spa that had opened up near Atlanta had sent a letter to its customers saying, guess what? We're opening thanks to Brian Kemp's order on Friday. And then this morning or yesterday, whatever, sent another note and said, we're very sorry, but we've received so much feedback from our customers and employees that we've decided to change our mind and we won't be opening.
Wow.
And we'll let you know. And a lot of places have decided to do that.
You think that's going to be a thing? You think that, like, if the employee revolt of things will change
a lot
employers' minds?
A lot. But it's not just employees. It's also people like you and I going, what the hell are
patrons,
you doing?
Yeah.
Please don't do it. And so I think you've got, obviously, you know, like any opinion, you've got people on both sides of it. But I've definitely heard of more than a few businesses making that decision to say, look, I know we're able, but we're not going to. I saw Killer Mike has some barbershops here in the area. He's not opening.
Good on him.
Who else was it? I know 2 Chainz has, I think, some restaurants, but he is opening. T.I. had, I watched a video of T.I. and I think it was like Instagram Live or something. I'll send you, Tom, the link to whatever I was reading and you can post it up. But
yeah.
He was basically, he has a theory and he, you know, I'm not totally
is it like a conspiracy
unconvinced
theory?
Yeah,
right.
That it's racism shit at play because a lot of African Americans, black
kind
people
of
are dying from this disease. And he said, what are they opening up right now? Barbershops, nail salons, places that black people frequent. He said it's not even a ploy that's, you know, subtle. I'm not totally unconvinced that he's,
I wouldn't put it past the shystiness of deep southern politicians
yeah,
either.
To go,
sorry.
Go on out there and I don't know, die.
Oh my God.
It's brutal.
Well, I hope that's not the intention. I think some of the real intention is obviously corporate and political greed.
Yeah, cronyism. I was suggesting earlier that maybe Brian Kemp has some kind of a bowling alley donor, like somebody with an empire of bowling alleys that paid money for this. I don't know.
Yeah, some of his biggest donors just own some of the biggest bowling alleys.
Right?
What a conspiracy to unravel.
Who knows?
Somebody get on that. Somebody from the failing New York Times get on that and start writing some articles. It is just crazy, and it's weird because you're seeing a lot of other states, mayors, governors, really start to kind of, obviously, in my opinion, put their foots directly in their mouths because there's really not a good answer to why you're opening up right now. The big famous one this week was the mayor of Las Vegas. She was an absolute dumpster fire of an interview with Anderson Cooper. I mean, there was just nothing she said that made sense. She kept stumbling over everything and contradicting herself and basically almost just saying that it was okay for her to kind of use her city as a test ground just to see how many people got sick. And that's it. I mean, we're literally to the point of human sacrifice with some of the GOP and Republican Party. It's just like, open this bad boy up. Hey, if a couple people die, if people can go play the slot machines in Vegas and touch everything.
Yeah, even worse, I think she said something like, well, I asked if we could do that, and I was told we couldn't, unfortunately. Ugh. It was like, just keep that to yourself,
lady.
Oh,
my God, these people. It's just like, we are truly watching political Harry Caray. It's just like ultimate political suicide. I could only hope come next year, or not next year, November, that some of that's on the chopping block. But all I would say to people is just like, you know, it's your choice. We said that earlier today. It's like, you know, Georgia's going to be opened up. There'll be some alluring things that we may want to go do again, but I don't mean to say this. Have at it, people. Go do your thing. I'm going to watch the news closely. I'm going to take a peek at stuff, and I'm going to see how this plays out before I'm all out parading everywhere.
I'm honestly even more nervous now because I know that, you know, there are going to be more, I don't know, disease
spike,
vectors.
Spike in cases, yeah.
There's going to be even more people out there that are interacting with others and
Jesus.
Potentially could spread to me. I'm even more nervous about getting near people.
Yeah, you're right, because at that point now, it's just like whenever you thought before, like, hey, you know, less people are out, less people are interacting. Now, yeah, now there's an even more chance that the person that you're even passing by walking has it, and they're breathing, and you've breathed it in. I don't know. It's just
her sister has a fucking husband with a brother who got a haircut, you know, whatever.
Who got a fucking haircut. I mean, even to the point of like, I mean, grocery stores and going into grocery stores and things like that. I mean, we've definitely distanced ourselves from the grocery store. We do the drive-up delivery, but it's just going to be a mess, man. I don't think there's any good outcome to this decision.
Yeah, I do miss grocery shopping for myself, though.
Oh, my God, yeah. And we've seen the implications of, obviously, the pickup grocery, because a lot of times there's stuff we don't even get that we order.
Well, we've done the pickup now twice. We do acquire groceries for 2 weeks. So this past Monday, just a few days ago, was our second pickup of 2 weeks worth of groceries.
A mixed bag of sorts.
And the first time was a lot better. The first time we got almost everything we ordered, with the exception of a few things that I could have, you know, guessed would be out, like rubbing alcohol, emergency, you know, like the airborne stuff. But this time on Monday, we couldn't get fish. We couldn't get tofu. We couldn't get frozen spinach. We couldn't get frozen fruit. There were a lot of things. I know there's more. There were a lot of things.
And who would have thunk it was the healthy shit? Like, you'd think everybody's like, just give me the fucking Doritos and the fucking soda.
Well, it was frozen. A lot of it was frozen stuff. Even the fish was, you know, that I had ordered was frozen. I think, you know, when we ordered fresh stuff, we actually got all that this time.
Yep.
It was the frozen. So I guess everybody's continuing to do like we are and saving up for 2 weeks. But I feel like if I had gone shopping myself, wouldn't I have been able to find things? Or maybe I'd have been able to find things similar that would have fit the bill. But
yeah,
I don't know.
You're kind of at their mercy, really. And that's the thing. And they're so busy. I mean, just even when we've gone, it definitely seems like that is ramping up in popularity. I think, though, the conversation we've had is just like, it goes to show how, obviously, in our regular lives, how, in a sense, pampered we are and fortunate that we can have these kinds of things. You turned me on to this hilarious video of this world leader talking about. I'm going to play the video for people to hear. Here, give me the lead into this video, because it was actually pretty perfect to how we were feeling.
Well, I think about this woman all the time. I mean, honestly, I hear her voice in my head ever since I saw the video, which was weeks ago now. I hear her voice in my head every time I'm like complaining about shit. So go ahead and play it.
Okay. And she is what? The leader of St. Martin?
She is the prime minister of St. Martin.
Is it St. Martin?
Oh, gosh, you're going to make me do this. It's like, okay, there's two St. Martins.
Yeah, that's where I'm
spelled
confused.
Differently.
Right.
Part of the same island. One is, I think, French, and that's the one you're probably thinking of.
Yeah.
This is on the south part of the island, I believe, based on my research, and is part of the Netherlands.
Wow, interesting. I will just say that I really like just the approach this lady takes, and I feel that more leaders need to just be kind of real with people, and this lady is hella real.
Yeah, the joke around it.
Simply stop moving. If you do not have the type of bread you like in your house, eat crackers. If you do not have bread, eat cereal. Eat oats. Sardines. You're supposed to have a 2-week supply for hurricane. And at the beginning of this, I said, prepare your disaster kit as if you would for a hurricane. That meant some people went out and buy toilet paper and water. The water's not going to stop. The toilet paper is still in the stores. What you need is food. You need to ensure that you have food. Because if I have to take everybody who is saying that, at least 50%, shut it down completely, regardless, food will also not be possible for 2 weeks for you to buy. Because the workers in the food market will also have to stay home. Keep that in mind. But do not run to the supermarket today to buy for a month. As I said, buy for 1 to 2 weeks. I will allow the supermarkets to be open for the rest of the week. Come Monday, my proposal is that we do a staggered approach whereby a segment of the population will be allowed to move while the rest stays.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
eat oats, eat sardines.
Yeah, just like she's basically just saying really what it is. Like, sorry, just substitute the things you like. Sorry you can't get those things, and don't be greedy when you go to the fucking grocery store or the market.
Suck it up, eat your fucking food.
It was a very subtle scorch the earth proclamation. More power to her, man. I mean, you know?
Yeah, the big joke, the reason that, of course, went viral, which it did a few weeks ago, was, you know, the U.S. is out here just like, could you guys please just stay home? And this is the Caribbean's response to that. You know?
Right. And then, like I said, like, people are murdering each other for toilet paper. And then, like, that's
stupid.
That's just obviously the height of stupidity. And then, you know, again, we're definitely starting to see the slim pickings and things that, yeah, sometimes they're going to run out.
Well, yeah, we still can't get toilet paper.
Yeah. And it's like, hell.
No, I mean, luckily we have some.
Yeah. Thank God. I mean, it's like gold. But
for how long? Well, at some point, we're going to run out. So.
And
shit.
Yeah. Then it's going to be using the Taco Bell napkins we have saved in the drawer. But yeah, I mean, so that's that. Another thing I thought that was really funny, just I guess talking about current events that we were earlier, is the good old president and his daily pressers that he does that have turned into an absolute shit show circus for everybody to watch. Yesterday's obviously, I think, took the cake when the president came on and asked one of his coronavirus task people, the Dr. Birx, that if it was possible to inject disinfectant and inject light into the body to fight coronavirus. Being
is there
the
any
big,
way to get the light in?
Being the big brain that Trump is, asking the real hard-hitting questions. I mean, that was absolutely the peak of idiocracy. It was unreal.
I said earlier today, you know, nothing really surprises me anymore because he says such ridiculous things day in and day out for however long he's been our idiotic president. But
God.
This one,
yeah,
my jaw dropped. It's been the first time in a while that I was like, he said what?
Yeah, that's how I felt too. And like I said, I usually kind of read the briefings of what he did talk about. And it's like usually now we're all just desensitized to it. So it's all just like, oh, that's really stupid.
Yeah.
But this has a new level of stupidity. And also following the hydroxychloroquine fiasco that happened a few weeks to a month ago with him touting that drug and it turning out to be kind of ineffective and lethal to some people that did go out and take it. It goes to show you just how people take his word and would probably do that. And that's kind of scary. And we do live in an age where the White House literally had to go out today and be like, don't do that. Like, don't inject yourself with fucking Clorox bleach, please.
Yeah, Dr. Jesus. Gupta said, and I don't remember, I don't think it was Sanjay Gupta, I think it was the other Dr. Gupta, but he was on some news show and was like, this is like a common way that people kill themselves, so
good
don't
Lord.
Do it. Like,
it's on, just
like
nuts,
it's a common
man.
Form of suicide, is
ugh.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, just flush out your veins with bleach. That's not going to save you from any coronavirus. It's going to instantaneously murder you.
Now that I just said that, though, have you ever heard of a suicide like that? I've never heard of that.
I mean, I feel like it's something that is probably been depicted in a movie in a super hyper violent way, but it's not like I've read in the paper like, oh, poor guy, he ejected himself with some Clorox
either.
Cleaner. Oh,
now
man.
That I said that out loud, I can't
that's
think
a really,
of a single instance.
It's honestly, it sounds like a horribly non-quick, painful way to die.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
don't
yeah.
do that, please. I would just think anybody that's listening to this podcast has an ounce of, you know, fucking sanity. So don't do that.
Sorry.
No, but yeah, that's insane, and that is obviously the leadership that we have helming this country into the flames of this pandemic. So
fun.
God help us all. I had a question I want to talk to you about because I've been like thinking about this, right?
Oh.
Thinking about what the future is going to look like.
Okay.
And when I say the future after coronavirus.
Right.
Or I would even taper it back to say, when the economy gets the balls to just open up again, and this
Wait,
may
you
be
make
like
that sound like it's a good thing, the balls.
Okay, maybe not the balls, but I guess just kind of the freedom to do that. That
okay.
we're all kind of like, okay, guys, this is time
the
we have
light.
To do this.
Yeah.
The green light. There you go. What is the world going to look like? My question first, right off, is theme parks, like theme parks like Disney World, theme parks like Universal Studios, like. I think I had mentioned to you, I had read something that said that Universal Studios was starting to look into a way to do rapid, fast-acting tests, meaning that you would get a test if you were a patron wanting to go into the amusement park, that test would say you don't have coronavirus or you have it. If you had it, you would be turned away. If you don't have it, you're free to go in. Now, that kind of idea and implementation sounds incredibly daunting, and it sounds incredibly expensive. But, you know, you and I, when we talked about that, we also said, like, there's not even just that element of it where you would show up, maybe there's a tent with some medical professionals, somebody hits you with a temperature, somebody, you know, provides the test, boom, it turns around quick, you're good to go, you can't come in, blah, blah, blah. But it's also all about following protocol and keeping distancing. You know, because if
up
you
until
go
the point
up
the
until
test.
The point that you go in there, because it's like, I don't want to be corralled in line with someone that might have the virus. And then can you imagine that person gets the test and it's like, oh, you had it. Now you probably gave it to all these other people.
There's probably pandemonium. I feel like that's like the beginning of a horror movie.
Kind of.
People just start like rioting and killing each other.
And obviously, I mean, so there's that kind of mentality of like testing, because I think when workforces open up again, there's going to have to be that element of screening people. Bigger places that are dealing with more of a public interaction, whether it's, you know, you see Amazon warehouses doing the checking the temperatures, et cetera, et cetera.
What if you're asymptomatic? That's the thing about the screening and the temperature.
That's
and
where
the
a
heat
test
map.
Hopefully would possibly tell you.
And the test is only good for however long. I mean, yeah. You know, by tomorrow you could have it.
That's it, true. It would have to be a day-by-day thing. It's going to be very expensive. And then when you talk about just patrons of these parks, I mean, I don't think this whole wearing a mask in public thing is going to go away for a while. I think wearing masks is going to become the norm. I laugh because...
They do it in Asian countries.
They do. And you know what's going to be hilarious? It's all the Disney princess masks that are going to be available, the Star Wars masks that Disney's going to make a fucking racket off of.
That's going to have to start being a part of, like, pop culture, too. You could see, like, in order to sell that princess mask, you've got to have a character with the mask wearing it.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere, right?
You know that there's going to be, when they open Disney, there'll be something where Mickey and Minnie are wearing masks, and it's cute and cool. Yeah, that's fucked up, but it's true. Like, so that's one part of it. I also thought about movie theaters. You've read a lot about, like, the thing about Georgia opening, that was one thing they said too, is that in the next rollout, I think at the end of the month, was they would open movie theaters
again.
I think
that was today. Yeah.
It could be today. Now, I then read something that a majority of the big major movie theater chains have said, that's great. We're not ready to open up yet.
Yeah.
Because that's also going to be a logistical issue. And here's what I'm thinking. Now, before they completely shut down, it was like they were going to do a social distancing measure of like only certain people are allowed in a theater at a time. You have to sit certain seats apart. I even see a future where, what do? Put fucking plastic dividers up between the seats?
It's funny you said that. I actually just read an article about airplanes potentially. It was just a rendering of ideas that some airline had commissioned for how to deal with this. And that was one of the ideas.
Really?
Was these big plastic dividers in between. Because airlines, I'm sure this is the same way for movie theaters as well. If you can't sell out a movie theater or
you're not making that much money,
an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got to leave the middle seat empty on every row, you're not making as much as you quote unquote need to be making. So
yeah, you're right.
They're not going to stand for that for very long. So once, you know, there could be some period of time that airlines go where they don't sell the middle seat. But how long is that going to last before they've decided that money's more important?
And can you imagine, like, already, like, airplane cabins are so cramped. Can you imagine when you have to sit with a fucking plastic, like, teller divider between you and
also,
the next person?
They're disgusting. So it's, like, going to be like the sneeze guard at a fucking Golden Corral where it's going to be. The divider itself is going to be a petri dish.
And then imagine logistically, okay, so for instance, you know, the flight industry always is about getting people, you know, deplaning people, cleaning the cabin, getting people back on. That process and time is going to take even longer now because they have to go through extra measures to clean. I think that is going to be that industry as well, of like the cleanup of kind of different industries and establishments is going to boom right now. Like if you got into that right now and you did that and you made that a business, it's not only an essential business, it's a life-saving business. Like, and they're going to like rely on people to come in and I don't know what you do, defumigate, if you, I mean, obviously you disinfect surfaces.
It. Unless these people have like crime scene cleaner certification.
Yeah, they probably have to.
Trust
yeah,
it.
You're right. Exactly. And I'm talking like UV lights, like making sure that you killed shit.
Oh, man. I actually, terrifying, I don't think actually. I've even seen that UV kills coronavirus, but. Anyway, nuts. Totally nuts.
Another one, the last one I'll talk about, and I think it's going to obviously be a while until this happens again, but large-scale sporting events. I don't think sporting events are really going to kick off probably for another year or so. And, you know, it's obviously going to hurt these leagues. I mean, not like they're all fucking millionaires, you know, already and make a ton of money, but I was thinking, what I wonder is, are they going to make a rush for VR to be more popular in these events? Like, are they going to be like virtual reality? Like, you know, filming a baseball game in the stands and you pay with your VR headset and you can sit there and watch a live game.
I mean, if you're going to do that, why is your perspective in the stands? Why isn't why aren't you on the field?
Or yeah, that's even better. I mean, I guess you could place cameras, you could make it super interactive. The only problem is you'd have to acquire the hardware, which would be expensive.
And you could hit it with a ball, I guess.
And I'm sure it would be a lot of trial and error, but again, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, you see like the WWE doing like wrestling with nobody in the stands. I mean, obviously, they're taking a chance with their performers. They're still able to kind of broadcast it to the people that watch it. And maybe, who knows, maybe that's what the leagues do. Maybe baseball just starts playing in empty stadiums. Same with football. Because I just don't think you're going to see these leagues stay down for that much longer.
I've still seen the opinion that that's irresponsible, though, because there are like hundreds of people behind the scenes of each team, and you're getting them all together every week. It's not super smart or safe.
And obviously there's a lot of sports that are like super contact sports, you know, football. You're just like running into some guy, he's flailing spit everywhere. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. There's gonna, and then once one case pops up, is game over.
Well, that's what happened already. The NBA was one of the first to shut down thanks to the player that had it. So just all these reopenings are just like, just wait until that's not gonna be a good idea again. I just can't understand how. Oh boy, what is going to happen? I just don't know.
I don't either.
And you know, the nuance to that is like when Kemp opened up certain parts of Georgia, certain businesses in Georgia, that means that if they don't, first of all, if workers don't go back to work when called, they lose unemployment benefits. So it's going to save the money there, save Georgia money. And then if businesses choose not to reopen, they have to continue, you know, mortgage lenders and landlords aren't necessarily going to follow suit and let you, you know, continue taking passes. They're going to say, well, look, the governor said you can open.
That sucks.
So you owe. So yeah, there's a lot of nuance to this. I am not smart enough to know where, how to proceed from here. I just don't get it. I don't know what the hell we're going to do.
You know, and I do think it's the sad element of trial and error. And I think that, you know, there's this wish for it to just, you know, snap our fingers and then here we go. It's life as it used to be. But
the problem
it's
is
just
that,
not.
That error is human death.
It is. That's the tragedy.
Toll.
It is a death toll. And it's just like, I don't know. And it's just hard to tell people to be patient and to wait. But it is the one thing that we can all do individually just to help it. And that is what it is showing in some way underneath all of this. It is a growing death count daily. Cases grow, but at the same time, underneath all that bad data, it has shown through thick and thin that social distancing is working, and that's it, and that's really what is within our control. So I don't know, we just got to hang tight, people. We just got to be patient. I don't know, you know, trust me, I want the creature comforts of my life back as well, but also I don't want to see grandma die, you know. I don't.
Yeah, and there's even, you know, younger people succumbing. So
I know.
You just don't know.
And you know, on that topic, this is something that we've talked about too. All this cabin fever, all this being kind of, in a sense, forced to be in the house with your families, with your wives, husbands, with your roommates. It's just got to eventually get to a point. And you know, hey, we're human too. We've definitely felt the dregs of it. But at some point, you do get a little sick of each other. And that's a very real thing. And I think that I can't imagine what some people are going through.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough enough for you and I. We choose to live together, you know, even when we're not in quarantine. This is our choice to live together. And we've been together a while. And we've been through some shit together. So we've had some practice at it. And it's still tough for us. So I can't even imagine how it is for, like, Like, I was thinking about, actually, a TikTok sort of made me think about this, but what about, like, parents whose kids came home from college and now they're staying there and driving them insane? God. And, like, you're used to having it's an empty house.
Empty nesters.
You got your own thing you're doing, and now this fucking 20-something wants to be in your shit all the time. And and I remember coming home from college and driving my parents insane.
Right.
And now it's, like, long-term, no distractions, can't leave the house. I cannot imagine for those families what this is
it's
like.
It's like endless summer break. It never fucking ends.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Not even to, you know, to get just slightly depressing too. You know, there's people living in abusive households and that's
horrible.
A
statistic. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's it. And I mean, Jesus, I was even thinking the other day, I was talking to Owen actually about it. I mean, he made the joke and it's true. Can you imagine? And we've all had this person that you've lived with at some point, but imagine living with like your college roommate through this, or at the time, you know, when I was going to college, I was living with some random people, you know, like, and I can think of the people that annoyed the fucking hell out of me for the like year I had to live with them. Can I imagine myself there in that situation? I'd have probably killed the guy by now.
Yeah.
I mean, him and I would have probably come to blows. I mean, it would have just been bad.
Well, there was one place I lived with roommates where I just didn't get to know them at all. We just did not hit it off right from the beginning. I thought they were weird.
Yeah.
And I ended up basically just anytime I was there, I was in my bedroom with the door closed. I would pop out for a quick thing from the kitchen and then right back to the closed door. If I was still in that situation.
Oh, my God.
I'd be banging my head against the wall with total boredom. And like, it's just not human to not socialize with people. This
it's
is
not. And that is something forced upon everybody. And it's just like, I don't know. And it's like, as much as you love people, your family, and you know, like I said, your significant other, you know, when you're at least living your normal life has plenty of distraction and has plenty of things that keep most people busy. So it's just like, hey, you know, I'm home from work. We get this little hour, you know, honey, and we're going to sit on the couch. We're going to watch TV, have our time. That's 24 hours a day now.
Yeah. Yeah, that you're right. I mean, that time, like, we're going to sit down and watch TV is like cherished, special time. And it's like, I can't wait to watch that show.
Yeah.
I am so sick of all the things I'm doing in quarantine, but there's nothing left to do. It's just do them over and over again because that's all there is.
And I mean, that's what you and I have had that conversation this week of just like, you know, look, it's okay to be fucking mad about this. It's okay to be sad about this. It's okay to be depressed about this. I think when I first got into this, it was a very silver lining kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And I do try to keep
positive spin.
Yeah. And I try to keep that going, obviously. But you know what? It is okay to just once in a while be like, I am so sick of this shit.
Yeah. I came to that point this week. I had to finally admit, like, you can be grateful that you're not sick and your family's not sick and all you've got to do is chill at home. But,
right. But
on the other hand, I was kind of killing myself, hiding from myself how angry I was about it. So finally this week, it was just like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, and I think everybody should do that. I think if you're listening right now, just yell that right now. Just say, this fucking sucks, even if someone's in the room, because it's good, and you got to say it. You got to let it out.
Yep.
Because you're going to become pent up. You're going to become angry and irritable, and it's okay. And that's another way I look at it, too, is it's like, I am so not alone in this. My levels of frustration, being irritable is just, it's a natural thing. Everybody's going through this shit.
Yeah. It's just not human to not, we're very social animals. This is not a human thing to have to do.
No, it's not.
And I'm so afraid of other people, and that's not,
that's
we're not
a weird
built for that either.
Too.
We're built to build groups and be part of families and family structures and villages. And we are not built for this. We're not built to look at another person and have to cross the street just to avoid them.
So true. Well, look, we've been jabbing on for a little bit. Let's start to wind the show down the way we typically do with some table topics. I did put the table topics link in the last show, so if you can read the last show description, it's in there. You can get it on Amazon. It's not essential, though, so it might take a couple days to get it. Anyway, I will draw a question that we will talk about from a table topics couples game. All right, here we go. First one. What's something out of character that you'd love to see your partner do?
Oh, boy. These are all such shit stirrers.
I think that's what they're meant to be, in a sense. Maybe shit stirrers, connectors. We've been pulling a lot of shit stirrers. But go ahead. Hit me with one.
What do you wish I was more of?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Hit it.
Something out of character I'd like to see you do. I mean, I don't know.
Don't go too hard.
I kind of like you, so that's tough. Do you have one off the top of your head? I'm always throwing to you on these. These are tough.
I'd like you to try watching more movies that I like.
I'm up for that. Literally, let's turn this off and go watch a movie, bud.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Out of character for you.
That was easy.
Fuck. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. I really
all
don't
right.
know.
Right,
this
pull
is
the next
why
one.
Is it so hard? I'm on the spot. It's very hard.
Oh, here, I pulled all these out just randomly.
Yeah, I don't like yours.
My pile's cursed.
Is it more important for communication to be authentic or kind? That's kind of a good one.
That's a good one. I think there's a good middle ground to that, mm-hmm. and I think it should be 50-50.
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation. I think sometimes it requires, like, I know I always think to one specific time a long time ago when you told me some hard truths about myself and my life that, like, sucked to hear, and there was almost no kindness behind what you said, and I was mad at you for like 3 hours, and then I realized you were right and it helped me. So that was authentic and not kind. It was not 50-50, and yet I needed that. And then of course there's those things where it's like, you just don't need to know that you hate my dress. I don't need to know that. You can just be kind about it.
I agree. I think there are some times where it does you better when it's a little more authentic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in any case, really.
Case by case.
Yeah, case by case with people. All right, next card. What would we like to outlaw in our relationship?
Ooh. I would love
outlaw.
Not to, yeah, like ban it.
Okay,
know?
There you go. Ban it.
I'd ban, and this is impossible, and that's why, I mean, obviously we both would ban this if we could, but I would ban like that instant reaction
mm-hmm.
to the other where you're not even really necessarily reacting the way you would if you could just take a moment, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes,
like,
I agree with that.
Like, I'd ban like nasty / just off the cuff reactions.
Okay.
It's tough to do that. You can't do that, but.
But it's in a dream world, that's a nice one to think of.
Yeah.
But I agree. I would say that would be my answer as well.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All right.
Do two more. One from you, one from me.
What's your favorite photo of your partner?
I actually know. It was a photo I took of you back when we were first dating. It was our first trip up to Massachusetts. We were sitting, and my God, we were probably at that point, my God, dating for 3 months, 4 months, not very long.
First trip up to Mass, yeah.
So September, maybe that year.
It was August.
August.
And we started dating in
April. I remember because we missed the first flight.
Yeah.
That
4 months.
Fun.
I just counted 4 months.
Yeah. And I remember we were sitting, getting a beer at one of the bars there, shocker, before we got on the plane. And you were sitting, and I had one of my earlier iterations, maybe an iPhone 2 or something. And you were sitting there, and the light was cascading in on you, and you looked really pretty. And I took a picture of you, and I kept that as your phone profile when you called for such a long time.
Wow.
Forever.
I think I know the picture.
And it was just a nice
beer.
Smile.
Yeah.
And
I had that
I
as
know.
My Facebook profile picture for
oh,
many
wow.
years.
You probably cropped the beer out, but
no, I think
now
it,
you left
you
the beer in there.
I think it was right there. You
but
know?
Anyway, you know, sans the beer, I always loved that picture of you.
Cool. That's nice. Thanks. Well, I don't have a great answer to this. There's a lot of photos I think of often that I could give as the answer, but I'm just going to say the first one that popped into my head. It was, so when we first started dating, I did the standard, and granted this was years ago, so there was less to look at, but I did the standard like social media dive, and I found some photos that you had taken on a job, and
oh wow,
and you had like a, it was like a photo you had taken through a wine glass or something.
On a job?
Yeah. It was one of the like Hilton Head Island
oh.
shoots, and you oh, had okay. taken a photo of, it was like a selfie through like a glass
oh.
and it was really cool. And I was like, he's cute. That's a great photo. Like talent, you know, like it said
hey now,
a lot of things about you.
Triple
so,
threat.
Yeah. It was, I saw a lot in that one photo. So I liked that one.
Yeah, definitely. I don't remember that one, but that's cool.
If I showed it to you, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I will after this. I'll show it to you.
Okay, last one. Would we ever consider couples counseling. We were just talking about this. Fuck yeah, totally. I think everybody should go to couples counseling. I think
regular counseling, all kinds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's just, especially because we've both been to therapy, and mm-hmm. just what therapy does to you on an individual level, mm-hmm. it unlocks stuff. And you know, I'll give us that. We're a couple that, sure, we'll have our fights, we'll have our disagreements and our arguments. The one thing we do well is we talk about stuff afterward. Yeah. I mean, Christ. You know, we've been together for such a long time, 12 years,
yep.
and even now we're finding out stuff about each other in just very recent conversations where we're like, I didn't really know that was a thing in your past. I really didn't yep. know you felt this way about your mom or about your dad. And that's the weird thing, is that that goes to show you that we all have shit that lies underneath us that we'll probably live with forever, but until we talk about it, then you better get to understand the person that you're with, you know, and why maybe that your partner is driven to certain extents and does things that perhaps upset you.
Or in what we were talking about recently, it's a perception, why you perceive something to be a certain way. And that was our big hurdle recently, was we were each perceiving something that the other was not intending to project. So that was good and important for us to find out. I would say too, tying this back to the whole quarantine thing, my theory on this is that, you know, certainly on an individual level, but also with couples or any relationship really between two people, you've got this like layer of shit boiling underneath of everything. And some of it's good and some of it's not so good. And there's this layer that's always there. And when your life is full of distractions, when all you've got is that hour on the couch to watch an episode of The Sopranos or something, you're not really like paying attention, or you're not accessing that boiling pool underneath of everything. But now that we're in quarantine and nobody's got anything to do and all those distractions are sort of, you know, ripped from our lives, we're seeing that pool, and it's like you're gazing into it yep. and going, fuck, that's always been there.
It's true. And I couldn't have said that better myself. And I just think that, like, you know, it's hard to not have the common distractions that just kind of push that to the side. But really, take advantage of this time, because it's an yeah. actual time when you maybe could turn to your partner and say, yo, you want to talk about this? And yeah. maybe it could be a quick conversation, or maybe it could last for hours, and you find that you break some new ground and you find something out that just maybe you didn't know was there. And again, yeah. this isn't about, you know, this isn't a counseling podcast, but hey, maybe take that up with your partner, or even with yourself. Have a little self-reflection.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I would absolutely go to couples counseling, and I would take with me some of the quarantine conversations we've had, because they've been more exposing of things than a lot of others.
All righty. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up this episode. What do you think?
Yeah. Sounds yeah. good.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. I hope everyone is doing well. Hang in there. Obviously,
still don't go out, please.
Yeah, still don't go out. Don't go bowling. You don't need to go bowling. Cut your own hair. It'll be fun. But yeah, thank you so much. We will continue to do these. We have been pretty good doing these on a weekly basis. Thanks to the Oh No Radio Show for letting us do this and broadcast on their network.
Thanks, Owen.
Yeah, thanks, Owen and the gang. Thanks for everybody who listens. We're going to take you out with a song like we do. This one's going out to all our essential workers out there. I found this one online. I liked it. It's called the Essential Workers Anthem. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
top it off, baby. Yeah, I swear. This one goes out to all the workers getting the pay down. Busting your ass, 9 to 9, working out to the bone. Essential, baby. Oh yeah, you're essential. I'm talking about the grocery store clerks, cashiers, nurses, doctors, nurses' assistants, food delivery drivers, post office workers, bike delivery, train operators. You know who you are. You're getting the fuck out there and doing it. And goddammit, this time really, really sucks. But let me tell you something. You are the best thing about it. You get out there, you risk your ass so that idiots like me can order food and make this stupid bullshit. And for that, God damn it, baby. We love you. Ha!